Blog Talk Radio.
Nowhere.
For a child entertainment.
Our king, Yahudah Dean, Rev. Yah.
kings. Yah's name is gone. We are the mighty.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 2330 Kemper Lane. I am Mori Isha Yisrael, here to bring you nothing but the truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that's tuned in to our listening audience, for we know that the only reason you have tuned in is because of your great love and your great fear toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea. And Yahweh is the one that has raised us up to bring you his words of truth. And that's what we will do. And today, we will be discussing the witness of Yahweh. To begin, dealing with the haters of Yah. And Yahweh said the haters of Yahweh should have humbled themselves. The haters of Yahweh are the ones that forsake the law. The haters of Yahweh are the ones that contend with the righteous. The haters of Yahweh are the wicked. They hate the word of Yah. They hate the messengers of Yah. They hate the messengers of Yah. Then we dealt with the lovers of Yah. For Yahweh said, for whoso loveth him, will he show mercy for 1,000 generations. But if you hate him, then he will visit your iniquity even upon the third and fourth generation. Yet, what will we deal with today? We're going to deal with the witness of Yah. All these people, types of people, are in Yah's plan. All these type of people are in Yah's program. Neither the haters, lovers, witnesses, the servants of Yahweh have inserted themselves for their own means. For Yahweh said in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs 16, verse 4, Yahweh has made all things for himself. Yes, even the wicked, for the day of evil, which means he made you for himself. He made everything for himself. You didn't have not one hand or not any input in the creation of yourself. You didn't pick your parents, nor did you pick your nation. You didn't pick where you would be born, when you would be born, how you would be born, why you would be born. Nothing you can think of was included in your creation. You were created, and all of us and everything was created for Yahweh. Which means, whether you're a hater, a lover, a witness, a servant, or whatever you are, it's for Yahweh. What role you'll play, that's up to you. He said, Yahweh has made all things for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. So, whose choice is it whether you'll be righteous or wicked? I'll show you whose choice it is whether you'll be righteous or wicked. In the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, in Ezekiel chapter 18, start reading verse, says, Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. But if a man is just, which means righteous, and does that which is lawful and right, has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled himself with his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes and kept my judgment to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, says Yahweh. If he begets a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any of one of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he begets a son that sees all his father's sins, which he has done, and considers, and does not such like, that has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, has not withheld the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with the garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die. For the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet you say, why? Does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. If the wicked turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. What the Creator lets you know is, it is your choice if you will be wicked or righteous. You can have a father that was wicked, but you can choose to do right. You didn't make yourself. You didn't purpose yourself. You didn't birth yourself. And you did not order yourself. But you can choose which way you want to go. Because Yahweh made a path for the righteous, and he made a path for the wicked. And it's up to all of us which path we want to take. But he also has let you know what he has planned for you. And let me tell you what he has planned for Israel in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 3 reads, "For I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba for thee. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you, people, for thy life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." That's what you're made for, Israel. The glory of Yah, whether it will be to his glory for his honor or for his glory for his dishonor, is the purpose of Israel, to be the glory of Yahweh. And you say, how can you be for the glory of Yah, but you're to his dishonor? Because the Creator said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Yahweh said in verse 45, he said, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you listened or hearkened not to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever, because you serve not Yahweh your Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." So he's letting you know, even if you dishonor him, he'll still put this sign and wonder upon you, and it will be known that, yes, you forsook Yahweh. You went against the Almighty, and he has cursed you even for his glory. So back in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, he said, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. This is what Yahweh said you are made for. So what did he say further? Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations, that means every one of them. You don't read in the Quran where anybody will say, let all the nations be gathered together. You don't read in the New Testament where they will say, let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Now, why would Yahweh challenge the entire world to bring forth their witnesses? Well, because Yahweh knows for surety that his word is the absolute truth. You and I can be unsure. We can be nervous about it, not knowing, is this real for real? And maybe that's why many won't bring forth their witnesses, because they're not standing strong. But Yahweh has no shadow of a doubt that his word is faulty at any time. So he's able to declare, proclaim, and say, bring all the witnesses from all the nations and let them declare former things. Let them say these things, or let them say it is truth. And what is truth? And listen to what Yahweh has said in verse 10. Ye are my witness. Speaking about Israel. You are my witness, says Yahweh, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he before me. And this is what you got to witness. Before me, there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I am Yahweh. And beside me, there is no Savior. Can you witness to this, that Yahweh is the only Savior? That Yahweh is the only Elohim? That you gotta know, believe, and understand him. That what? Verse 12. That I have declared and have saved, and I have shown, when there was no strange Elohim among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Elohim. Now, the witness of Yahweh will declare exactly this. The witness of Yahweh will repeat everything the Creator has spoken. That is the duty of the witness of Yahweh. If you claim you're a witness of Yah, are you repeating his word? Or are you lying? For the Almighty lets you know this in Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Verse 16. Bind up the testimony. And what is the testimony? The testimony is the witness. The word witness and testimony come from the same Hebrew word. They're the same thing. A witness testifies. That's all a witness can do. Why do they call witnesses to the court? So they can give a testimony. That's what they say, the witness's testimony. Well, the Creator has his very own testimonies. And he said, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Why? Because those are the ones that will guard his testimony. And in verse 20, he says, to the law and the testimony. Which means what? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So if you are a witness of Yahweh, then all you should be speaking according to is the testimony and the law of the Almighty. Why should a witness speak about Yah's testimonies? Number one, in Psalms 19, verse 7 reads, the law of Yahweh is perfect. So, of course, you should be speaking about the law. Why? Because the law is perfect. There's nothing better than the law. There's nothing greater than the law. It's perfect. The law is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure. It's sure. It's gapless. It's strong. It's sound. His testimony is sure, making wise the simple. Why wouldn't you speak about the testimony of the Almighty? Who are you testifying for if you're not testifying about Yah? Who are you a witness of? Well, look in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, look in the book of Exodus, the 25th chapter. I want to show you about this testimony because this is what the witness of Yah should be talking about, should be concerning themselves with Yahweh's testimony. And in Exodus 25, verse 16, it says, and you shall put in the ark of testimony, of the testimony, which I shall give you, and you shall put into the ark of the testimony, which I shall give you. And you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And you shall make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shall you make them, in 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub in the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims, of the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And you shall put the mercy seat above the ark. And in the ark shall you put the testimony that I shall give you. And there I will meet with you. And I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. And from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So this structure was very important. It was built to house the testimony of Yahweh, which he said he will give to Moses. And what was this testimony? Well, if you look in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, verse 14 reads, "And Yahweh repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of Elohim. And the writing was the writing of Elohim engraved upon the tables." So the testimony is a literal witness of the word of Yah. That's what a testimony, that's what this testimony is. It's a witness of Yahweh's word. Because Yahweh spoke to the children of Israel from Mount Sinai. He spoke his covenant. But he didn't just entrust these words to the people for them to remember to speak to their children. He didn't just leave it up to them. No, he wrote them down himself in stone and had them kept up for safe preservation so you can go and look at them. Not only that, but he made Moses do this in the book of Deuteronomy. The 31st chapter, verse 26 reads, "Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave to Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage. For you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with you. And it came to pass that when Moshe had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, saying, take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against Yahweh. And how much more after my death?" So what did Yahweh have his messenger do? Not just entrust the words that he spoke to them, to the people, to repeat. He instructed that a book shall be written, and it shall have the words of Yahweh, and they will be a witness unto the people, so they can see just how evil they really have been. Even if you look in the book of Isaiah, the 30th chapter. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8 reads, "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh. He wrote it in a book. The words that he gave to Isaiah, he wrote it in a book because it's a testimony. Even in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write you all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. Why? Because it's a testimony. We can't just leave it up to the people to tell us what was said. Why? Because they're going to lie anyway. They didn't want to hear it anyway. So Yahweh just didn't leave it up to the people. But he had Jeremiah write it in a book. He had Isaiah write it in a book. He had all his servants write it down. Because this is the testimony. And to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Even look in the book of Habakkuk, the second chapter. Verse 1 reads, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And Yahweh answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that they may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Why did he have Habakkuk write? Why? So you can see it. So it can be a witness. So it can be a testimony. Even in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, you'll see in the second verse it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel was confirmed in knowing the word of Yah because of what Jeremiah wrote. Well, look in Daniel, the 12th chapter. In Daniel, the 12th chapter, start reading in verse 4, where it reads, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Meaning what? He instructed Daniel, everything that you've been learning, seal up the words in a book, not in your mind, but in a book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood one, there stood other two, the one on this side on the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my master, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So you see, even Daniel had words that had to be written for a testimony, for a witness. And look what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Verse 1, who has believed our report? And why? Because this book is here, the testimony is before you, but do you believe it? Yahweh not only will send messengers to speak his word, but he has already prepared a testimony outside of his messengers, outside of the people. He's already prepared a testimony which needs no help from you or anyone else. Why? Because it's his words right here before you. It's his witness. So you can say whatever you want and tell whatever story you want. Does it line up? And is it according to the testimony? And if it is, then perhaps you are a witness of Yah. But if it isn't, we know that you're not. Even look in Isaiah the 8th chapter, just showing you what a witness of Yahweh is. See, these writings that Yahweh had his witnesses write are simply repeated words that Yahweh gave them. They're not soliloquies and movie scripts and playwritings and songs of thug life. These things is the word of Yah, simply repeated by the witness. That's all you have to do when you're a witness, and you just have to repeat what Yahweh has spoken. And there's two ways that you can repeat the word of Yah. One way is by speaking it, and the other way is by executing it. Both ways are required because both ways establish you as a witness of Yah. In Isaiah the 8th chapter, the first verse, it says, moreover, Yahweh said unto me, take you a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahar Shal Hashbaz. And I took unto me a faithful witness to record, Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Yeberechiah. Why? Why did he take a faithful witness? Because an unfaithful witness will not do what you ask. An unfaithful witness will not repeat what you said. So he had to get a faithful witness, one that he can have surety in, one that he can understand and know is going to do exactly what is asked of them because they're a witness. Look what the Creator let us know in Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter, the 15th verse. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sins, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. We need more than one person claiming this thing. You need at least two. At and better three, but no less than two. If a false witness rises up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong. You see, that's what a witness does. They testify. And Yahweh has took all the guesswork out of being his witness. You don't have to find out what to testify for Yahweh. What you do is you pick up the testimony and you speak to that. That's all you do. Anyone running around here without the book of Yah or with something different than the book of Yah or something added to the book of Yah or something coupled with the book of Yah, that is not the testimony he told you to witness to, but only to his testimony. You see, he says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before Yahweh, before the priests and the judges, and which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness is a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do to him as he had thought to have done to his brother. So shall you put the evil away from among you. Which means what? You can't testify falsely and get away with it. If Yahweh don't allow you to falsely testify on another person, how much more is it to you to testify falsely against Yahweh? I'll show you what Yahweh says about that. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, verse 20 reads, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other Elohim, even that prophet shall die." Meaning what? There is not like if you bear a false witness on your neighbor and you say, "I saw my neighbor stealing and he stole." And so if you get caught as a false witness, then you must have wanted your neighbor to have to restore double unto this person for whatever reason. Well, you now are the one that's going to have to come out your pocket because you tried to get him jammed up. If you saw your neighbor doing some evil, not worthy of death, then that thing that you falsely witnessed to is what shall happen to you if it's not worthy of death. But if you falsely witness to your neighbor being a murderer, well, then you're going to die. Well, there is no different options for bearing false witness on Yahweh. He said the prophet that presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall even speak in the name of other gods, like JC, like the Muslim deity, like the deities of the African spiritual systems, even that prophet shall die. Meaning, you don't have no other options. If you speak against Yahweh, the punishment is death. That's what you get. So it's not a light thing to take up the name of Yah in your mouth and proclaim Yahweh has said. Because Yahweh has left a testimony to verify if he said it or not. A witness of Yah shouldn't be without the book of the law, Look in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. If you want to know the prototype, the example, the mold of what a king should be, then you need to look to one king, and that's David. He's the mold of what a king should be. And look what Yahweh said about King David. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 3 reads, "Incline your ear unto me, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." So if David, a king, is a witness to the people, what is he witnessing? Well, he's only witnessing the one thing he can only witness, and that is he's a witness of Yah. And what did Yahweh say that a king should possess? To see if he got to do something different. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, verse 14 reads, "When you have come into the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations that are about me. You shall in any wise set him king over you, whom Yahweh your Elohim shall choose, one from among your brethren, shall you set king over you, that you may not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses unto himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that it should multiply horses. For as much as Yahweh has said to you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives unto himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply unto himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of which is before the priest of the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear Yahweh his Elohim, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart is not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turns not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." So a king in Israel, like David, to be a witness of the people, must have a copy of this law. How can he be a witness and speak according to the law in the testimony, and he don't have a copy of it? And he don't read it, and he don't speak from it, and he don't counsel from it. What kind of king is that? What kind of witness is that? It's not a witness of Yah if they don't use the word of Yah. Even in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 reads, "Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, listen not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, they make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. They say to you, they say still unto them that despise me." You see, one of the haters of Yahweh are those that will speak visions of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Yah. They'll speak a vision of airplanes that they need the congregation to buy them. They'll speak a vision of all type of things, but it ain't of Yahweh. And Yahweh says that these people that speak vision their own heart, they are actually a hater of Yah. Now, why would you listen to anyone that speaks of their own heart and not utter words of Yah? This is why the Creator did not leave it solely up to the people to witness to His word. Yahweh ensured something that would surely verify if He spoke it or not, and that's called His book, the Book of Yah. It's His testimony. All on its own. He didn't need you to write it. He didn't need you to publish it. He wrote it Himself. He put it in the earth. He made it come about. He has made it published in every place. His word. And all you need to do is pick it up and look in it and see that this is the word of Yah. And if you dare be one that is called by the Creator and say you are, well, this is the book that you should be speaking according to. And the word of the Most High lets you know every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And this is what a witness of Yah should speak to, should testify. And there's only one book, and that's the Book of Yah. And if you use this book, if this is your verification and your certification that you're a witness to Yah, then you should walk in these ways and speak of this word of Yahweh. For this is what a witness of Yah has, His word. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. Shalom.
Yeah. For Tribe Entertainment. It is a glory for Yah to conceal a thing, but it's another to search it out the purity. The heart has many vices for us to give to desires. So choose you life or death, will you live for burning fire? Now who will stand in the council of God? Now who will stand in the who will stand in the council of God? Now who will stand in the council of God? Come on.
Will you serve God? Or will you pass by?
Praise Almighty Yahweh to every moment to Rabboni, speak His word faithful, every law and testimony, there's no might up in you. If you continue to discredit Yah's credential about who was serving, let the Spirit get you Deuteronomy 13, verse 7, verse 18, chapter 2. Ruin the oldest service purpose. If you feel the light, you will profit to bring the topic, leave your emotions out. Bring to the table Yahweh's writing. If you can enlighten, since they hyper the bar, Yahweh's lighting. Let these people know Genesis 1 begin that time and rather not enough for mine. And you won't find where the moon is finding. Other day is violent. Words of thumb unto my brightness was an unsign to bring it no months either. In the desert 40 years, they have no leaps neither. Shout out to Malek, David, and King Solomon, who will sign all y'all soldiers to wear the hireling. It is the glory for y'all to conceal a thing, but it's an honor to search it out the purity. The heart has many vices for us to give to desires. So choose you life or death.
Everybody want freedom, but they don't know the actual cost. They want to be down for the cause without the accurate law. Sacrifices, bodies lifeless, just to prove who's the wisest. Y'all's golden tongue better than Midas. I transfer light through the mic, the way your internet like a hack through your wireless. The flow is timeless, cause I spit with coke. My false prophets were synthetic like polka. Patties, no counsel against y'all, so y'all can at me. H-O-Y trying to take sin from the Navi. Teach precision, no merits if they perish. I can tell they lacking vision. If two don't walk in unison, then they destined for collision. That's why we seeking that counsel that is hidden. Light stone for the righteous, that's living. Hidden is the glory, for y'all that can still obtain. But it's another, the search of our purity. The heart has many vices for us to give to desires. So choose your life or death when you live or burn the fire. Now, who will stand? He's the counsel of God. Now, who will stand? In the council of God now, who was saying? In the council of God, come on.
Will you serve God?
Will you serve?
Or will you pass by?
Will you pass by?
Will you serve God?
Will you serve God?
Or will you pass by?
Will you pass by?
Go forth and y'all bring in the fire. Seek y'all way. Seek weakness. Walk in humility, not weakness. Y'all teaching this is way to be higher. Learn the truth. No more subject to the liars. Submit to y'all the only way. He'll unite us. Way. Y'all's way is only true. Judgment and be righteous. We can run on y'all, not even in spite of. Sons of be loud. We faking like they like us. But y'all gave us all to our heart's desires. He'll cut you off. Spreading hate like a virus. So turn to God, he is torn as evil.